Welcome to a new session of Kosher Tidbits. Over the years, innumerable calls from consumers have been transferred to me. There is one in particular that remains firmly etched in my memory. The voice of the caller betrayed the seriousness with which he viewed his question. Simultaneously, there was an underlying tone of disapproval. "I have heard," he began, "that in any product under the Orthodox Union supervision, not all ingredients need have been made under Orthodox Union supervision. Some of the ingredients may have been made under the certification of other agencies. So how can a consumer be certain that everything in a product meets OU standards?" Indeed, a very valid question. "You are quite correct," I responded. "It is highly unlikely that every ingredient used in the manufacture of an OU-certified product has been manufactured under OU supervision. However, I assured him that every ingredient would meet our standards completely, and he may use the product without any compunctions as to its kashrut standards. Any ingredient that is not made under Orthodox Union supervision undergoes a process of OU review to ensure that." That short but oh so important phrase, "a process of review," refers to the Orthodox Union commitment to ensure that the same kashrut standards are being kept in all ingredients approved for use. And this commitment will be honored even if it necessitates a long, complex, and even costly process of review. What precisely do we mean by process of review? Before considering that, permit me to ask a different question. What level of expertise and what resources are needed to run a kashrut agency and certify the kashrut of products in an acceptable manner? In presenting in brief the structure of and resources available to the Orthodox Union, we shall arrive at some understanding of just how complicated kosher certification really is. The Orthodox Union boasts a very large staff of kashrut professionals whose cumulative experience in every field of kosher food production adds up to hundreds of years. Food production is constantly evolving and has reached a very high level of sophistication, employing technically complex and scientifically advanced methods of production. The Orthodox Union has experts on its staff who not only have the required knowledge and understanding of equipment used and processes employed in the manufacture of ingredients, but whose job is also to monitor advances and changes that are constantly being made in food manufacture, a field that is just never static. Additionally, we have access to a database that provides extensive and detailed information on products and companies throughout the world. I am sure that the listener will be interested to hear that at present on our database, we have important information of more than 200,000 products. Finally, The Orthodox Union is enhanced by the services of internationally acclaimed poskim, who determine our halakhic standards and render decisions in all matters raised by advances in food science and technology. Particularly over the past decade, there has been exponential growth in the number of kosher agencies worldwide. Some of these new agencies are totally unknown to us. Of others, we have inadequate knowledge of their infrastructure and process of granting certification. If one of our certified companies wishes to use products made under the certification of such an agency, our mandate and our responsibilities to the kosher consumer demand that we conduct a review of the process of certification in place. I must emphasize that when we review a certifying agency, we are not hoping to find a carbon copy of the Orthodox Union. That would be overly ambitious. But what we do hope to find is an effective and adequate kosher program administered by a staff which has the right level of expertise and training, coupled with a strong sense of responsibility and a pervasive commitment to excellence. I should point out that in situations where we conduct a review of a plant, which may be limited to a series of phone calls or a visit to the plant by one of our senior representatives, and find ourselves not satisfied with the present system of hashgacha, we shall assist the agency in question in enhancing the standards of the Kashrut program to bring them on a par with the standards that we enforce in our own programs. In this manner, we have provided numerous Kashrut agencies with meaningful and invaluable assistance, and this has led to the raising of Kashrut standards in so many situations throughout the world. The kosher consumer is the ultimate beneficiary of these activities and efforts. There is a further area in which differences in standards may present themselves, but of a quite different category from the foregoing. The complex world of Kashrut deals with many situations that have long been the subject of halachic debate. New methods of production bring in their wake new halachic questions. The Orthodox Union is fortunate to have in its services poskim of international renown. It is they who decide halachic matters for us, and their piskei halacha, halachic decisions, will be applied equitably in all situations that are under Orthodox Union supervision. While acknowledging the rights of any posek to issue a decision differing from that of our own poskim, and without casting aspersions on the legitimacy, authority, or expertise of other poskim, we cannot, quite obviously, accept products manufactured to halachic standards that differ from those required by our own poskim. Permit me to conclude with a Devar Torah. The Torah describes Noach as a holy, righteous man in his generations. The sages differ as to what nuance of meaning is added by the phrase in his generations. Some interpret that it is further praise of Noah. If he was wholly righteous in his wicked generation, how much more so would he have been had he lived in the generation of Abraham? Others say that it is a criticism of Noah. He was regarded as righteous in his generation, but would not have been had he lived in the generation of Abraham. What motivates us to righteous living? Is it dissatisfaction or even revulsion with the materialism and debasement that is so prevalent? Or is it a vision of greatness and ennoblement as embodied by the giants of the spirit? If we are motivated by a reaction to that which is misguided and wrong, even a very limited commitment to spiritual responsibilities will satisfy. If, however, our motive is a vision of true spiritual greatness, we will constantly aspire to ever loftier heights. I am sure we have all heard the horrors of the deplorable situation in Kashrut supervision many decades ago. The problems were by no means limited to the United States of America. I have read several diatribes against the less than acceptable standards that prevailed in some parts of 19th century Europe. But our motivation cannot be merely an aversion to ineptitude or worse, for that would merely encourage a smug acceptance of mediocrity. It is the vision of true spiritual greatness that must inspire us. Under the leadership of Rabbi Ganak, it is this commitment and this vision that informs our efforts in reaching out to achieve the excellence we seek. This is Rabbi Yerachmiel Morrison, and thank you for joining me as we explored some of the highways on the road to excellence in Kashrut.